you hear that, Scott?
Hear
it's
what?
It's Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, yeah.
And Reese Davis? In the background. It's on. We're watching Navy and BYU in the background of another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi. I'm Alex Turco. We're back. We're in the saddle. And each week is starting to feel a little bit more sporty. We have NHL. We have college football. We have pro football coming up this week. This episode is going to be football heavy. This is what we do, man. This is our bread and butter.
You let off of the NHL. We talked just last week about how we haven't watched it in the NHL.
I had to give it a little love. And the MLB and tennis and NASCAR. Yeah. I'm just saying I can't even.
Okay, yeah. There's too much.
Well, what happened is I'm seeing the score scroll by.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lightning are up 3-1. I was like, oh, NHL, I'll throw them a little love.
Good night for the Ning.
Lightning are hot. They were minus one and a half goals, and I really wanted to take them, but I felt like it was too trendy, and I don't know shit about hockey, so I stayed away.
Yeah, that's a smart move on your part. But now I found myself this weekend, Alex, having a – we want to talk about, like, feeling kind of normal, whatever. Like, I went to an establishment with a friend and watched football this weekend. Like, okay. Like, that was kind of a sign, right? Like, that was – hey, we're getting back into this thing a little bit.
I'm working on my
remote
on
skills.
My remote fingers. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, I'm missing it. It's a commercial. What am I doing?
Saturday was great because it's like, you want to watch the Derby, right? But like, unless you're a diehard, you can't sit there and watch the 4.5 hours of Derby pre-coverage.
The
right?
lead
like,
up, right.
Right, right. It's like, let me know when they're like getting into the gates and then, give me that like 90 seconds. That's great. But I had, had the football on one TV, Derby pre-coverage on another TV. We had some baseball on a third TV. We might have actually gone two TVs on two different football games. Well, it was great. It was great feeling back in that environment.
And our Florida State Seminoles are on this weekend, taking on Georgia Tech at 3:30 on Saturday. And obviously, all year, you kind of guard yourself from getting excited. And we talked about this last week and previous weeks. It's just now that it's here, it's like, whoa, it's not falling off the tracks now, right? We made it. We did it.
Yeah, as long as, everybody went through a round of testing, I think, today. And then if we get through that round of testing on Friday, then we're good to go. But
we're on.
Everybody's a little paranoid about Labor Day weekend. But here's the thing, folks. Like, the way things work, especially for a sport in season, those guys aren't going out partying. They're too busy. Like, coaches purposely plan practices and stuff, and it's game week for these teams. You're not missing Monday to go, sit on the beach somewhere. I mean,
awesome is that to say? It's game week.
It's game week. I know Mike Norvell, Florida State's first-year head coach, was excited. He started his Zoom conference with that today. He's like, hey, it just feels great to say after all this craziness that it's game. We get his first call-in show as the head coach here tonight as well.
That's right.
So, all sorts of, we had 2 weeks ago when we talked about a Central Arkansas and Austin Peay, that was like week -1. And then this past week was like week -1. Well, because this week was like week 0 because we had a handful of games, but like none of the big boys were really going. And this week, Alex, we get Big 12 and ACC play starting. For the ACC, it's big time because we've got ACC matchups. Like, we're playing conference games this weekend. Big 12 playing non-conference, more of their kind of traditional layup type affairs, or at least they hope that they're layup type affairs to open up the season. But
So let me water this down for a second.
Okay.
Unfortunately, let me water it down because – I look at the slate. I'm excited. I'm pumped. The Noles are playing. 3:30 is going to be a damn good time. I'm going to drink plenty of beers. I'm going to cook out. I'm going to act like it's the Super Bowl. But leading up to that, there's something about that Big Ten matchup at noon right out of the gates, Minnesota, Illinois, or Minnesota, Iowa. Who cares? I'm gambling. We're rolling. Day's started. We're fired up. Couple bloodies or mimosas. You pick your breakfast beverage. And then you have those 3:30 matchups. You have a couple games to watch, and then the nighttime game. Unfortunately for us, the night we play 3:30, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and then we roll into a 7:30 kick between Clemson and Wake Forest.
So you're saying,
and that's your night.
You're saying North Carolina. Yeah. Now, granted, we knew that this wasn't going to be as voluminous as it normally is.
It'll pick up when SEC gets started.
True, but it's just never going to be, like, you're not going to get those noon Big Ten matchups that apparently you are one of the few people here in the South that was really looking forward to Beth Mowins giving you Illinois-Iowa at noon
on
a Saturday.
I didn't say I had the volume on. I just said I was drinking Bloody Marys and placing a couple bets on it to
get
my juices flowing.
North Carolina-Syracuse isn't a bad noon kickoff. How is that any
better? I am excited to see Sam Howell.
I will say that is as good as, if not better than, whatever crap the Big Ten was throwing out at noon
Cuse
on a Saturday.
Sucks. No. Q sucks.
So you're telling me Rutgers Northwestern get your blood boiling more?
Okay, well, no. I mean,
the noon
you
kickoff,
just the bottom feeder.
Now, I will say, because somebody's going to
chirp. When you see Michigan State, Iowa.
I will say, I forgot that last year, the Big Ten started doing the thing where they played their best game at noon. I stand corrected. I forgot that was, my mind is destroyed from 4 years of living in the Midwest, where I would roll from game day straight into sleepy Champaign, Illinois, and I didn't even know what hit me. Like, I'm like, why are we in Bloomington right now? Like, can I get something else going on?
Yeah.
Why is this on every single channel? I don't understand.
It's funny because game day, typically in that example too, game day, you're hyped up. You're like, all right, they're going to take you to your city. You know, you get all fired up. They make the picks, and then it's like, Beth Mullins, here we are, in Maryland versus Rutgers. Yeah. And you're like, oh, man.
Welcome to snowy Piscataway.
Yeah. So I'm like, with you. I'm just.
I forgot about that.
It's not as loaded, and I'm not used to seeing that.
Well, it's just not. Yeah, and that's, folks get used to that. Even when the SEC gets going, it's not going to feel loaded. It's just not going to feel as heavy as it normally does. I went to the movies for the first time in forever on Sunday night, Alex. And you want to talk about something not feeling as full as it normally does? I mean, it had the parking lot looked like a Wednesday matinee crowd, and you walk in and you're looking at all the movie times, and it's just two movies. And it's like, all right, how many different theaters can we show in these two movies in to fill up this whole thing? But
did you have to watch the whole movie with your mask on?
You're supposed to, unless you're eating or drinking. So that's where you're kind of free to. There was 10 people in our theater, and there was nobody in our row. So we, you know, hopefully don't get arrested by the movie police here.
Scott, who's we? Y'all took your mask off.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I won't throw the other guys under the bus, but.
Oh, just got. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were sitting there enjoying it, and we masked up walking in, masked up walking out, did what you're supposed to do. If there had been anybody sitting next to me that wasn't in my group, yeah, I would have done it. But, like, literally, there was no one in our row except for us three people.
Yeah.
It felt like we had the theater to ourselves almost, but it was cool. I mean, hey, it's all part of this, like, kind of dipping our toe back into the water of, like, things that feel normal but still feel different because they're always going to be different for the foreseeable future. But with that, this college football Saturday slate is as complete as we have had. I think we can safely call this week one. Hopefully you agree with me there. It's certainly week one for the Florida State Seminoles, which we have a vested interest in. And with that, I wanted to kind of get us into, let's talk about some of these teams that might stand out this year. We know who's going to be good, right? Clemson in the ACC is going to be good. They're going to be in the playoff most likely, and they're going to be a national title contender again. People would be shocked if that wasn't the case. I think Oklahoma in the Big 12, they're the favorites. People just assume that this assembly line of quarterbacks in the Lincoln Riley system, Spencer Rattler is the next guy. And they're just going to do it again, right? And be great again. What about some of these other teams? Because someone in this wild and wacky COVID college football world, in which you're only playing conference games, right? Someone else is going to have to be a second best team and compete. So who do you like coming out of, we'll start with the ACC. Who do you like to, maybe not challenge Clemson, but to be someone who has a chance to make some noise here in this ACC plus one schedule?
That's the problem. It's like, who's challenging Clemson? Really, no one. And that's when you say ACC and you talk about someone being a, you know, who's breaking up the ball, if you will, or crashing the party, I think is a term you've used.
Yes.
North Carolina is a trendy pick, but I'm going Pitt. I oddly think Kenny Pickett's been there forever now, and I don't like Kenny Pickett that much, but he is experienced. He's had some games where he's thrown 400 yards. He's crafty as a runner, but the reason I'm picking the Pitt Panthers to kind of shake things up, maybe pull an upset here or there, ruin someone's day, or be a tough out, if you will, is because of that defensive line. Their defensive line is absolutely elite, and they have a secondary that's pretty damn good, too. They got Damar Hamlin, a good safety, whoever he is. Can't remember his name, but I promise you he's good.
We're early in the prep stage.
I was going to say, I'm a little rusty. I got to shake it off, get my mind right. But they have a really, really good defense, and I think their offense just being able to keep, you know, a couple points on the board every quarter is going to have them win in a couple games just because their defense can be so good.
Isn't that been kind of what's hamstrung Pitt over the years, though? Like, remember they got Max Brown, the USC transfer, former five-star quarterback. Turns out he sucked. I mean, like, they've never – Pat Narduzzi, I mean, he was a longtime defensive coordinator and a great one at Michigan State. That's why he got the job. The defense has almost never been a problem for Pitt when they've been competitive.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Are they going to score at all?
Well, this year, I guess – like they typically do.
Just a little bit here and there, just enough to – I mean, I guess they'll be a tough out regardless because, you know, I was going to say I think defenses will be ahead of offenses, but last week's results, I mean, there are a lot of lopsided games there. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be the case, maybe not. I guess we'll wait and find out. But I'm just – you know, I'm just curious, I guess, as to who's going to – provide some scoring for Pitt, because I get what you're saying about the defense. The offense is what concerns me slightly, which is why my pick is because I'm picking a team that has gone out and made strides to improve their offense, and most notably at the quarterback position, which has been a long, long time problem for this program, and that is the Miami Hurricanes. And Miami going out, getting De'Eriq King, who guy's a baller. At Houston, he was really good, and he is, from everything I've read and heard, hasn't really missed a step despite sitting out most of last year. And Miami, and I know I don't want it to be the case.
I'm pumping the brakes on it. I'm pumping him, but carry on.
They have a good defense. That is one thing that has been, and I know they've had some opt-outs, which are going to hurt, no doubt about it.
Thank God, because Gregory Rousseau
is maybe the best defensive lineman in the country.
Oh, he was going to tell our O-line to touch your toes and bend over, and he was taking them down again, because he did last year.
So that's going to hurt them, no doubt. But a Manny Diaz coach defense at Miami has been good, if not great, every single year he's been there, as both DC and now head coach. And the whole thing is like, is he actually a good head coach? Like, can he get a group to buy in? That, I think, is going to be what impacts Miami the most, not a matter of talent, because I think they've got some as good of talent as they've had there in a while.
Well, that's what I was going to say to add to your point. It's a little frustrating as a Noles fan and a Kane hater that they actually have talent this year across the board. They're very talented. They got receivers. They have running backs. I mean, they pull in De'Eriq King, who's undoubtedly better than Nakosi Perry and Jaren Williams, who transferred. You know what I mean? Like, the quarterback is... Oh, my God. I forgot he even existed. They were hyping him up last year, and that's why I said pump the brakes. That Kane hype train has been, we're back, our offense is this, Tate Martell's the real deal. Every single time he scrimmaged, he's the real deal. This, that, and the other. Nakosi Perry's the real deal. They love hyping stuff up. So,
I know.
And the only problem with this year is, like you said, De'Eriq King's a proven commodity. It's not a hype of a guy you haven't seen yet, like a Tate Martell, who's a backup in the past, or Nakosi Perry, who's a freshman at the time he was being hyped. So that defense, and now a quarterback that's a true dual threat, but also proven to do, you know, very well at both. Yeah, I think they're going to be a problem. I agree with you. O-line's a question.
Yeah, again. And linebacker, they actually took some hits there too, but I trust they got some guys that can fill in there. Yeah. So we neither of us picked North Carolina. Is that just because it's too trendy? Like, everybody's on North Carolina's train? Yeah, same.
Way too trendy. Do I like Sam Howell? Hell yeah, I do. But let's just remember, last year, they, for all the hype they're getting, they still were a 6-loss team last year.
Right, and they played in a lot of close games.
Yeah.
So that... You know, it's unique in the fact that, right, conference only, they're playing in a side that is, I don't know, without the, you know, it's in a year in which you don't have any divisions, so things have kind of been shaken up in the schedule wise. You know, we didn't mention Notre Dame. Technically, they're in the ACC this year, right? And I know you were poo-pooing Notre Dame a little bit there before we started recording today. They have a three-year starting quarterback. They have a very seasoned head coach who's led a team to a playoff and a national title game appearance. Not many guys in college football can claim that. I mean, I would...
It's fair.
I would probably, right now, if I had to pick a second best team in the ACC, I think I was more going, not just like a who's going to be second best, but who might just rise up and kind of surprise some teams. That was my Miami pick. It seems like that was your pick.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I appreciate you clarifying that because I don't want someone thinking I'm taking Pitt to be second best in the
right,
ACC.
Right.
Okay.
I think I would take Notre Dame over North Carolina right now just because I don't want to say sophomore slump with North Carolina, not with just Sam Howell, but it feels like, you know, Mack Brown year two, Sam Howell year two. It is a prime kind of position for that. Like,
talk about trendy. I mean, that right there is trendy. Mm-hmm. It's and yeah, they had some momentum going into last season, the end of last season and the offseason we just went through, but and they had a great recruiting class, my God. But there's something about Notre Dame under Brian Kelly. Outside of that 1 year stretch where he had to completely revamp everything he did and believed in to get them back on the Notre Dame level, mm-hmm. they are consistent. You know, they are a good team. They're not going to go out there and their schedule kind of in the past, Michigan, that was a big game. They pretty much always won that outside of last year.
No USC, no Stanford. I mean, arguably their schedule's way easier this year than it's been.
Much easier.
Yeah, because, I mean, the ACC is just not the gauntlet that they play in this kind of Frankenstein type of schedule that they put together spanning coast to coast throughout the course of the year.
I think that's a good pick. The problem with Notre Dame is they're never going to be elite enough at the athletes' positions.
Right.
To the secondary, the corners that need to cover, the receivers that need to make plays, the running backs. They have a piece here or there all the time. Typically mm-hmm. have a good offense, but they're never elite, and that's why I would not pick them. You know, can they hang with Clemson on a one-off game? Yeah, of course.
Maybe.
But talent-wise on the schedule, here's a hot take, just being a little bit of a homer, but it's also because I know this team so well. I truly, truly believe Florida State has a more talented roster than Notre Dame.
Yeah. Now, will the new assistants be able to get the most out of that talent? I think that's the big question. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Seminoles. I mean, we have quite a few Noles fan listeners, you and I both Noles. So it's a team that has me oddly excited because I'm just, and granted, this could all be quenched very quickly on Saturday. If at 4 o'clock, they're lining up, staring the wrong direction, and like some of the same problems that have existed over the last couple of years reared their ugly head. But I think this group is bought in. I think they're organized, and they do have some talent. Are they the most talented team in the ACC? No. Are they? Heck, they. I don't know if they're even the second most talented team in the ACC. But they're a group that does have talent. I mean, they're still Florida State, and while the O line is still going to be a very significant question mark, though some interesting names that came out on that initial depth chart today.
I loved the shakeup. It showed me that this staff is so bought in on everything they're preaching. That fresh perspective, new eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
When Willie Taggart and his crew took over, we didn't see any shakeups. It was like who you thought was coming back to start was who started.
Mm-hmm.
This year, guys are getting passed by who haven't made moves. There's a lot of young guys up there. I mean, we have a redshirt freshman, Maurice Smith, starting at center.
Yeah.
He got
moved
no
Baby
hype.
On Johnson. Yeah.
And Baby on Johnson moved over to guard.
Yep.
He's had issues snapping the ball. Why the hell hadn't he been playing guard the past 2 years? If you're a center and you can't snap the ball, my God, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Get your now,
I don't know if we
side.
Had anybody that could actually snap a football last year. That could be part of the problem.
Baselli can do it, but
could he do anything else? You know,
but he's not a mauler. Yeah.
Right,
he can't move people.
Should be. But this group is just, and I think you feel the same way, right? Like this group, they're not going to go win a national championship. They're not going to make a college football playoff. I mean, I'm just, I just think this group isn't going to beat themselves, and like that's exciting. And maybe that shows how far we've fallen.
Well, who was I talking to about this the other day? It's going to drive me crazy. I was talking about it with another Florida State grad, actually, through the boosters. Long story short, I'm sitting there talking about how my perspective has changed from when I was growing up watching the Lost Decade, the Drew Weatherfords, the Xavier Lee years. My hope was that we would get an upset, that we'd beat one of our two rivals, if not both, Miami and Florida.
And make a bowl game.
And that we'd make a bowl.
Yep.
And we almost always did that.
Well, there were some questionable years there.
No, we struggled with the rival part. I'm saying pretty
much. And making a bowl. I mean, goodness gracious. We barely made it in 2000. What was that? Six?
But Willie Taggart's the only bastard that couldn't actually have us hold on to the streak. But anyway, so the perspective of what I wanted as a Noles fan before the season, I never expected to win a national title. Didn't even expect to win the ACC most years. My wish, my hope, was just to be competitive and get an upset along the way and show that we can play with a big dog here or there. Then we win the national title in 13. Jimbo builds us up. And all of a sudden, I'm like expecting 10 win minimum. Years that we didn't get 10 was a disappointment. Now I'm humbled again. All I want is 8. That's it, Scott.
I love 8.
I want 8 wins.
That means we had 8 pretty good Saturdays.
Guess what? I think we're doing it.
I hope so. And it all starts on this Saturday at 3:30 against the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech.
You watching the game with me?
If you're going to invite me over, then I'd be more than happy to. Okay, cool.
Your invite. It's a week out, so I haven't thought about it yet. But yeah, come on.
Less than a week, but
come on. You're right.
5 days. 5 days.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's crazy. Okay, let's go to the Big 12 here quickly. Obviously, we're not quite as embedded in that conference as just in terms of interest and what we're following on a week-by-week basis. But we know Oklahoma and what they've done and established themselves over the last several years. Lincoln Riley picking up right where Bob Stoops left off. They've been a perennial playoff contender. They have not been able to break through to get to that title game yet. But they're right there, exciting offense, trying to do just enough on defense in order to do it. They got a new QB again. But everybody's pretty high on Spencer Rattler because of his pedigree coming in to Oklahoma as well. And he sat for a year behind Jalen Hurts as well. Who's kind of a watch out for this kind of team for you in the Big 12, similar to how you picked Pitt in the ACC?
So tying it back into Notre Dame and a team that played them in the bowl game, Iowa State. The reason is I have a man crush on Matt Campbell. He was the guy I said on these airwaves or recordings that I wanted to be the next Florida State head coach. That was the guy that I said has it all as far as organization and production he gets from lowly talented players when it comparative to the other schools in the conference. Matt Campbell's my guy, and guess what? Brock Purdy, his brother's now our quarterback. Why would I not pick him? I like Brock Purdy. He's now been he'll be a 3-year starter. That experience means something to me. And again, it's just a team that can pop up here or there and rear an ugly head and screw someone's season up.
Yeah, that's sort of the MO that they built under Matt Campbell, right? Like they go 8-5, but they beat 3 ranked teams. What it feels like they do.
And lose to unranked, who's a bottom feeder in that conference.
Texas Tech or somebody like that.
There you go. You know. Perfect example.
My choice is one that's kind of similar to Iowa State in the fact that I really like the way they're coached. I like the way they're organized, and they've made kind of a name for themselves over the years in being that team that comes out of nowhere to shock you, and that's Kansas State. Kansas State under, is it Chris Klieman, the former North Dakota State head coach, who is their head coach now in his second year. I mean, remember, they upset Oklahoma last year on a big surprise. I mean, they were blowing them out in the fourth quarter until Oklahoma rallied late but fell short. I think this guy's for real. What he did at North Dakota State is obviously real, and he feels like the perfect guy to have followed Bill Snyder and what Snyder did, and just that whole embrace the concept of we're underdogs, we're not pretty, we're not going to get the best and the most elite talent, but by golly, we're going to work harder than you. We're going to put ourselves in great situations. We're never going to beat ourselves. And that's what Kansas State football is, and I think they're going to have a chance to do that to the tune of 8-9 wins this year.
Wow. Big season in Manhattan if they can get 8-9 wins. That'd be an awesome season.
Yeah.
What was that?
The Little Apple.
The Little Apple.
Well, I've heard that one before.
No, I haven't. I mean, it's Manhattan. I should have known this. Right. It seems pretty, those stars align for sure.
Right, right.
But there's something about that color combo, the silver and the purple. Those are badass. Ooh,
yeah,
man.
It looks good. It, looks, it just looks clean.
The little Kansas State. It is. It's sharp. And the Wildcats.
Always have an athlete
cool.
at QB, and it, you know, just they're just a
well,
tough
I remember
out.
The year when they had Darren Sproles when I started liking them.
Yeah.
From afar. Like them from afar. But I
remember them
Kansas
in 90,
State shirt.
98 when they almost, well, you know, them losing to A&M in the Big 12 title game opened up the door for Florida State to back their way into the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl that year and then eventually lose to Tennessee and Peerless Price and T. Martin and company. But, you know. Rocky well, Topkin.
That game. I mean, if Winky
Florida State
plays,
had no business being in that game.
Well,
the way
Scott,
that
if,
set up.
If Winky plays, it's...
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But Winky wasn't playing. Winky hadn't played in 3 weeks.
All right, well, since you brought us down that rabbit hole, right, I walked in and then get us back on the tracks. But I walked into a liquor store in Bristol for the NASCAR race in a Florida State t-shirt, you know. Saturday in the middle of August, no biggie. I walk in, this guy's like, "Oh, Florida State, man!" Oh, and he's like, was jawing me, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "We kicked your ass in '98." I'm like, "Oh, all right." You know, like if Winky played, we probably would have beat you. I'm like, I was blindsided. I didn't even know there was a rivalry between Tennessee and Florida
State. I don't think there is. I think that guy's a one-off. Every Tennessee fan I have ever dealt with has always been. Great. I love Tennessee fans. And they're always, I think they know they kind of got a little lucky in that 91. And they still kind of probably sit there and think they should have won one with Peyton anyway. So it's like, this was like the gift that was given to them by the football guys.
Consolation prize.
Yeah, exactly. And then like, we got a common enemy. Like we both want to beat Florida. So, I mean, there's that. I always had great relationships with
Hey, Tennessee, the Tennessee powdered fans. Orange. That's a good look too. And the checkered ends. You know,
I can't pull
on...
it off, but I'm a big Tennessee guy. I like it.
Well, you know, I like the checkered end zones. I mentioned old Nealon before. So one last team I want to mention. Are we doing any other conferences?
Not this week. I do want to get to the group of five here real quick and
bring
up one of our teams that stands out from any one of those group of five conferences that is playing, which is all but the MAC and the Mountain West.
Then you answered my question.
All right, so I take the lead.
I think UCF's going to have a whole nother year where they're like, hey, guys, remember us? We're the people that keep winning that you keep ignoring. This year, you can't ignore us. I think it's going to get really interesting. Their schedule is crazy easy. And I just think it's going to be – I think they were supposed to have North Carolina on the schedule. Maybe that was last year.
It was one of those ones that got rained out because they've lost an ACC game to a Hurricane like 3 years in a row.
Yeah. So
they're playing Tech to open up next week.
Okay. Tech goes there right after us.
Yep.
After playing Florida State. Okay. So their quarterback who had to play for Milton has taken
Dylan
over.
Dylan Gabriel,
And he's a runner, man. That kid's really good. And at that level, he's going to just continue to get better because the teams they're playing aren't going to be to the athletic capability that UCF is. I think UCF's going to have a really good year.
You see Mackenzie Milton, though. He's back. Working out. Like they're hoping that maybe about halfway through the season, he might be able to come out and be able to play.
Yeah, I saw he's working out, but that's Gabriel's job now.
Yeah. Now they could do some package stuff, you know, stuff, things like that. I think they're going to throw
that stadium. Well, God, I forgot they can't have fans.
Be packed, yeah.
Yeah. The UCF fan base will be hyped. Unfortunately,
yeah, no doubt.
Spread out. It'll be a collective yell though. And you will hear, in coming from Orlando, you'll probably hear a little groan of excitement.
AAC and Group of Five in general, maybe the biggest beneficiaries of how this is all playing out with no Big Ten and no Pac-12, and the fact that these television networks, ESPN specifically, with so much inventory to fill, so much space, there's just going to be a lot of big-time AAC games on that you're going to turn on because you may have turned on that Big Ten game before. Or you may turn on that Sun Belt game because you may have turned on that Pac-12 game before. But like, those games aren't there. You know, when you're flipping and you got the recall, right? Like if you're going through and you don't have your team playing at that moment, and you find Cincinnati and UCF are locked in a tight one in the fourth, yeah, you're probably hanging out there for a while, where you might not have done that in previous years, just because there's more opportunities for other games to catch your eyes, bigger teams and bigger names to catch your eyes. So, you know, hopefully this is a chance for a bit of a coming out party for the group of five. You know, I'm always a fan of the little guy.
Yeah, well, you're a big Cincinnati fan, right?
Well, so Cincinnati is a trendy pick for, I think, a lot of people that would identify a group of five team that could come out. Luke Fickell's been there a couple of years. He's really built it up. He's got his quarterback again.
Scrappy
got
team.
Good defense. They're tough. They have to travel to UCF, so that's where I kind of like your pick of UCF a little better this year. I'm just going to go way off the board here, and by way off the board, I'm going to the Sun Belt and App State. I think that thing is such – they're on their third coach in 3 years, and I don't think it matters. I think that thing is John Rothstein says that Villanova is a Fortune 500 company. It runs itself. That's like his classic tweet he tweets every time they win a game. That's App State in college football. Like that thing, you and I could step in there and that thing would run itself, I think. It is such a well-oiled machine.
Oh, Scott, I mean, if we step in, we might get a damn ring. Yeah, we...
I like that, yeah.
We might take him to the top. They don't want that. They can't afford us.
They took Eli Drinkowitz, who was an NC State average offensive coordinator, and got him the Missouri job. That was those players and that system more than Eli Drinkowitz, I believe, in my opinion. So I think App State in the Sun Belt, they're the class of it. Especially, they're not going to get a chance to get a pelt, you know, but App State has enough name recognition out of the Sun Belt. Like, people know App State because of 2007 and Michigan. And they have been nothing but successful since they moved up to FBS. And so they're going to get the benefit of the doubt in the polls with pollsters, I think, especially because they have, I think it's four games on big ESPN this year. So, like, or on ESPN Family and Networks, I should probably say.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
But like. That's a chance. That's a chance for you to watch them and see them. And so I think they have a real good chance to go undefeated. And I don't know what the hell the bowl thing is going to look like this year. We know the playoffs going to exist. After that, it's all a crapshoot. But they're going to be up there in the conversation for respect, if nothing else, by the end of this season, I think.
Well, how about this? I'm excited. Tell me if you're excited for this year's first college football
Turco trifecta.
We're back. How about that? So I actually, when you said App State, I almost took them and I wrote them off my list just because I wasn't sure. I forget who they're playing at this point, but
they're playing Charlotte. They're playing Charlotte at noon.
That's why I didn't take it, because Charlotte was really good last year.
Noon on the deuce.
I don't know who they lost, so I didn't want to mess with it. But see, there you go. Okay, noon game. I'll be watching that.
Noon on the deuce. There you go. I mean, would you rather watch Rutgers and Nebraska, or are you going to watch App State Charlotte?
Let me name some winners here for you, Scott.
All right, lay it on me here.
Iowa State, Matt Campbell, Brock Purdy, my guys. I just hyped them up. They're laying 10.5. I bought a point, by the way, if you go to your book and realize it's 11.5. I didn't lie to you. I bought a point. Iowa State against, it didn't even matter who they're playing.
The Raging Cajuns of Louisiana.
That's right. See, it doesn't even matter, though. I mean, 10
also
points, are you kidding?
Hey, that's on ESPN, baby.
That's a big-time game. Here's another game. This is a bet I'm actually going to take. I take them all, but I'm saying I didn't want to mess with the spread. Florida State was giving 12 points to Georgia Tech. That number's way too big. Florida State wins this game. Take the money line. I don't know about 12 points, though. That seems tough. 10 points, that'd be tempting. But 12 points, that's a lot. So Florida
State.
You're
saying money line for the Noles against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech in Doe Campbell at 3:30 on ABC on Saturday.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So Duke is getting 19.5 points. The whole reason that Notre Dame really got hyped up before the show even started, we started going back and forth about Notre Dame and their success. Yeah, they're a good team. They're not covering 19.5 on Duke. Buy a point if you're scared, but I might even drop it down to 18. The Blue Devils, with time to prepare, they're always well coached with Cutcliffe, and they're a little more talented than they've been in the past, starting to get a couple recruits in there. They're always going to be Duke. They're not going to beat Notre Dame. But 19.5, take the Blue Devils.
All right, and that's a 2:30 kick on the Peacock, NBC, Notre Dame hosting Duke in the bowels of the famed Notre Dame Stadium, Wake Up the Echoes, though, with only students and staff there. What do you think about that decision? I like that, honestly. So for these limited capacity stadiums this year, the ones that are doing limited stuff, keeping it to students and faculty and staff as opposed
instead
to...
Instead of boosters?
Yeah, instead, you know, maybe you can let in some, but instead of like trying to sell as many tickets as you possibly can, so to make a buck on this thing, like encourage your students who, right, get what, 4 years, maybe five to experience college football. They're already getting a weird year this year anyway, and half this stuff is all turned topsy-turvy and on its head, the entire college experience. You know they're safe. They're on your campus. Like, that's the whole purpose of you keeping them in that little bubble, right? So, like, just move that student base and let them socially distance in the stadium, and seems like nice gesture.
That's what I was going to say. It's almost a nice little reward, or here you go, to the students and staff. Come support your team. Come support your school. You're already here. I do wonder, you know, they got to get them to socially distance. Students that might...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, have you seen...
Might be a little tougher in a student section.
True, but you get your group of your friends, and then you just go... There's no student section. Like, it's the whole stadium. So you just go, you and your group of three or four friends, and you just go pick a spot, you know?
50-yard line. It's where you'll find me, baby. Planted my ass down 10 minutes before kickoff since I have time to roll in.
Yeah.
Watching the Golden Domers.
It sounds pretty good to me. I mean... Nothing forced these students to go back on campus this year. And obviously there was so much hand-wringing about whether or not it was safe and it was a good thing. Like, this is just, thank these kids for showing up and keeping your institution open by paying money. Like give them
a
break.
Paying a lot of money.
Yeah,
too.
Paying a lot of money. Guess what? The boosters are going to be there next year too. And they're going to keep paying money. And if you want these kids to be boosters one day, then, you know, maybe throw them a bone now.
Yeah, I think you're right there. So there's my first Turco trifecta of the year. And looking forward to getting it underway. I also want to clarify here, one little betting note. I've been hammering the Southern Miss pick for 2 weeks on our show. I did about 0.5 seconds of research on the game, and everything I read was like, do not take Southern Miss with all those points. Immediately took, I never took Southern Miss. I was just saying it, you know, tongue in cheek a little bit.
Sure, sure.
So I won last week because you texted me, and I got a text. Another text like, hey, nice pick on your Golden Eagles. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, I was saying that.
Yeah,
on the
that's
podcast.
Right. But you did take the Jags and ended up with a win.
South Alabama, man.
Southern Miss, already without a coach. Their coach resigned on Monday. So, boy, tough start for the Golden Eagles in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. But the football machine, it just keeps moving, whether or not we're in a global pandemic and things are weird or not. And speaking of that, the NFL gets started this week as well, Thursday night. We get Chiefs-Texans, is that right? Chiefs-Texans?
That's right. Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes should be a fiery game out of the gates offensively.
The two quarterbacks that just got paid this offseason, going head-to-head. Drafted in the same draft as well, the same year that the Jags took Leonard Fournette. So, yeah, heck yeah, let's go. But NFL getting started. We don't know if things are going to look weird this year in the NFL. I'm sure they will at some point in time. But we wanted to kind of get in and discuss because one of the beauties constantly, this isn't like Major League Baseball where we came in and we had to literally break down like an entirely new sport because there had been so many rule changes. The NFL still, there's a lot of it's still the same. We're not having the extra game yet. We're not having the extra playoff spot yet. So that stuff's still a year away. But you know how this league works. Teams rise up after a good draft year and maybe a second-year head coach or whatever, and teams that make a playoff push, all of a sudden they find themselves right back down to the 6-10 range, and they're wondering what went wrong. So do you have two teams that may surprise this year?
One of them is a team that is loaded with talent. Literally, if you look at the roster, it's all first-rounders. The whole starting lineup, and that's the Atlanta Falcons in the AFC South. Yeah, they have to battle with the Bucks. They have to battle with Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers, who I don't think are going to be quite there. And with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm. And then the Saints, very tough division, but don't forget, they love playing for that coach there and in Dan Quinn. And last year they got on a roll for him to keep his job. He was about to lose his job, and they went out and won some games to keep him there as head coach. So I like the Atlanta Falcons this year. A lot of talent. Matty Ice at quarterback. Good team, and I think they're going to surprise in the sense that, you know, they might push not just to be a wild card team, but they're going to push to win that division.
Okay. The Atlanta Falcons, your first pick, my first pick for a surprise team. I will stay in the NFC, the Detroit Lions. I think Detroit with Matthew Stafford back.
Out on a limb there, Scott.
I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, right, like, this is a team that is going to compete for a wild card spot, I think. And Matt Patricia in year three, they've got a couple of big wins, but they haven't been able to do anything consistent. Bad injury luck over the last couple of years. This is kind of it. Like if it's going to start working for Patricia and the Lions, we'll see it this year. This could fall flat, and then Patricia's career as a head coach in Detroit is going to fall flat with it. But it just feels like this group has some pieces that have come in to place, and if they can kind of rally around that Belichickian nature of their head coach and buy in a year like this, in which you're going to have to be tough, I think, the way things are going, you're going to have to make your own excitement with the limited crowds. You're going to have to be ready to play come opening kickoff, and the toughest teams are going to be the best teams. And well, their head coach certainly wants them to be tough. So I think that if that all goes according to plan, then the Lions could be a team that are fighting for a playoff spot this year.
How about that running back room? AP.
They got 100 guys, I think.
DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
And Kerryon Johnson. Those are all guys. I mean, yeah. AP's probably the least explosive of them all right now.
Oh, no doubt. Of, yeah.
You know what I mean?
DeAndre Swift, get him the ball out in space. I mean, he's so good that way. And
right. And he can catch the ball just like they like little running backs up in New England that can catch the ball and make stuff happen.
They have some
weapons.
That's
a guy that can
Stafford.
Do that. They I mean, do. Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. I mean, they it's not a bad roster. I just, when I hear Lions, immediately I'm like, yeah, right. Scott, right. What are you smoking, dude? But I agree. The team, when you think about the roster, it's not too bad.
Right. So we'll see if they can put it together. But I think they could.
I hope so. Contend. The poor Lions, you got a feel for them.
I know.
I almost
Detroit
I need
sports
the Lions
man.
To win
like,
something.
The Tigers are not very good. The Red Wings aren't good anymore. Who else is
Pistons.
Up there?
Pistons.
The Pistons aren't any good. I mean, geez.
Pistons are trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough, don't have anything. Tough times in Detroit.
And it's Detroit.
Man, but
I mean,
yeah. And Detroit sucks. But I have another team here, mainly because I last year thought that they would win the division if it wasn't for an injury to Big Ben. Big Ben's lost a lot of weight. Big Ben looks rejuvenated, seems rejuvenated, and then he's out to prove something too. Everyone thinks he's done. That defense last year was top three in the NFL, returning everyone. Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, linebackers all over the place. Devin Bush at linebacker in his second year. Joe Hayden's playing well for as old as he is. I really, really believe the Steelers are going to be a good team this year and impress people, because a lot of people are writing them off because they just think, okay, Joe Burrow now in Cincinnati, Baker Mayfield in a resurgence of athletes in Cleveland, even though they had a disappointing year last year. It's the Browns. Every year we hear the same story that they're
right.
Resurgent. They signed name insert player here. They signed him, and they think they're going to be good now.
Until they're good, we're just going to believe that they're not.
And that's what I've been doing forever, but Browns fans can't figure that out. Here's the deal. It's the Ravens, and it's the Steelers, and this is their division until someone takes it from them. And I'm not so sure the Steelers don't take it from the Ravens this year.
Interesting. All right. You got a lot of faith in Big Ben's elbow.
Well, a lot of faith in that defense, because with Duck gosh damn Hodges and
Mason Rudolph,
Mason Rudolph last year, we should have made the playoffs. We lost two games to end the season against some sorry sap team. And obviously, I'm still a little butthurt about it. But last year, we went to overtime with the Ravens and had another dogfight with them. very well could have gone 1-1, if not 2-0 against the Ravens last year. So they shouldn't scare any Steeler fans. This is a team that's used to being in a dogfight in their own division.
All right, my AFC team to watch out for. And I think this might have been one of those teams that got one from the Steelers in that late stretch, if I remember correctly, the Miami Dolphins.
No, they did not.
They were up big, and then they blew it. Is that
and
what it
they
was?
Blew okay. it. Yes, yeah. I had a lot of confidence on that game. Yes, it was. But you are correct. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
All right, so Miami, I'm not going to change my pick because they didn't beat the Steelers, but I think they're just another team in a division that is as wide open as it has been since 2001, 2000 probably. Heck, not even before that, because the Jets were – since as long as I can remember, this is as wide – since the AFC East had the Indianapolis Colts in it.
Since MASH was filming live. Yes. In Vietnam.
Since there are only three divisions in each conference, it's been that long since this division has been this up for grabs. But everybody is kind of wondering what these – I think we can all agree that the Jets are probably the worst team in the division. But the other three teams, you can hear arguments for any of them to potentially be the AFC champion this year. And there's just something about the way the Dolphins played to end last season. I think Brian Flores really has that young group all rowing in the same direction.
And he has some fire. He has some fire, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And you like that. And they went out and they acquired all these draft picks and they used them in this year's draft. And they said, we're going to go out there and take a pretty good draft here and then see what we can do. And they're going to go with Fitzpatrick. And the best thing is here, Fitzpatrick will not be the quarterback at the end of the season. Doesn't have to be. He is going to do a little Fitz magic or something, win a couple games early, turn back into a pumpkin like he always does, and Tua is going to be waiting in the wings ready to go at that point. And that, if the team is like 500 at that point or maybe a little over, then I think the Dolphins have a chance down the stretch really to maybe push for one of those wild card spots or maybe even a division crown. I mean, I don't necessarily know if they're on paper better than either the Patriots or the Bills, but I like the direction that the Dolphins are going. And if they wear their throwbacks more often, they'll probably win more games.
That's a no-brainer, by the way. But, here in Jacksonville, we hear a lot of reference and reminiscing to tank for Tua because right now it's the tank for Trevor.
Right,
and we talked about this on a couple episodes now. But in order to impress, pretty much all they need to do is be 500. That's a big jump from where they were. We were just talking about them trying to lock down the number one overall draft pick, and now we're talking about them potentially challenging for a division, which, granted, is wide open. We don't have a lot of heavy hitters there, but I easily think they can. They're very talented, and they have good secondary. You want to talk about some players back there. They have a very talented secondary.
Yeah.
And their receiving core, Preston Williams and Devontae Parker, and then Mike Gesicki or whatever, Gesicki. The Penn State kid at tight end, they got it. What? Did I blow it?
Nah, just like you and name pronunciations are always, it's a long time.
Here's what I do, Scott. It's the same way I read. My eyes scan over it. I see a couple letters, and then I just mesh them together in my head.
You take the
first
two letters and the last two letters, and then you just make up the middle.
I saw he's Polish. I saw a ski in there. I nailed it.
All right. Who? Give me two teams here now that may disappoint.
Disappoint, I think. I might surprise you here, but personally, I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to disappoint. They didn't lose a lot, so you might say, wait, how are they going to do it? I think their division is so damn tough that last year they were in a fight with a couple teams because they don't score a lot. And I think playing the Cardinals twice, playing the Seattle Seahawks twice, and then the Rams twice. I mean, if you split with the Cardinals and the Rams right there, we're talking two losses just in your division. Seahawks are really, really good. And then I don't love Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't think that Super Bowl, I think that Super Bowl hangover is going to hit them a little bit more than most teams. We've seen that in the past. When you lose a Super Bowl, it's hard to bounce back and say, well, we didn't lose anyone. We'll go back next year. It doesn't work that way, man. Every other team just got better too.
Right. And how often do we actually see a team that loses a Super Bowl get right back there? Very, very rarely.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't dislike that pick. I mean, it's just
and I don't think they're going to be bad, but disappointment, no doubt. I think they're going to, clocks to strike midnight on them. I like Shanahan as a coach, but yeah, I see them dropping a lot more than they did last year. And they snuck by early last year for some wins, strictly because of that defense.
And the run game.
Yeah, in the run game.
All right, my first pick to disappoint out of the NFC, the Green Bay Packers. So the biggest thing going into the offseason was, hey, this Green Bay team, they weren't that good, and yet they won 13 games last year under Matt LaFleur and made it into the playoffs and, you know, won a game. I mean, okay, this team went to an AFC championship or NFC championship game last year. Maybe they're close. And then they went out there and did absolutely nothing to address the weak part of the team, the offense. And I just feel like last year was fool's gold. Like that team was not a 13-win team. They were not talented enough to be a 13-win team. They kind of made it happen. And
I'd agree, yeah.
They got exposed by the team you just brought up as a disappointing team. I mean, absolutely exposed in the playoffs. And I just don't see how they got any better. And Rodgers is a year older. They didn't address getting him a bunch of like talented weapons around him. They sort of did it with smoke and mirrors last year, and I just don't think they're going to be able to do that again this year. So I think like you said, we're not picking these teams all of a sudden go 4-12, but I don't think the Packers are. I'd be surprised if they're a playoff team this year.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, another competitive division too.
Right, I like the Vikings better in that division. Obviously, I like the Lions. You like maybe the better Lions, in that is it to division? Impress? Yeah. And okay. The Bears. I mean, Mitch God can't count them out. I picked to go to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. We're gonna have to do that soon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do we do it today?
No, I'm not prepared.
I'm not either. Yeah, yeah. You're right. We just what's it matter? Last year we were prepared and we picked shit.
Maybe we tweet that out later in the week, a little content on Thursday. There you go.
Okay. Very
look at
fun,
this. We're workshopping. We're creating social media stuff live on the air. People are hearing the process. This is how it goes.
Yeah, this is it. Literally. Yeah. I'll typically call Scott and say, hey, what time are you coming over? I got to run. And then we're on the phone for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
All right, man. I got to go. And then I look down. I'm like, all right, Scott, seriously.
Yeah, all right. It's been 45 minutes, man.
Yeah, exactly. So my pick here, I'm just – NFC, AFC, that's how my mind works. Mm-hmm. My disappointing team is the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC.
The class. Reason,
only because of Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's my reason. He can't push the ball downfield anymore. I don't love their receivers for him anyway. They did load up at running back. They have a very good O-line. So They're a fun pick for a lot of people on paper, but I don't see it. I don't love the Colts this year. I don't think they're going to live up to expectations at all.
Physically, he is so limited now, and people are just like, oh, his offensive line and it with wherever the heck the Chargers are, it was limited. So, like, that hurt him. And it's like, no, I think it's a little bit more than that. I just think, like, this guy's old now. Like, these guys are old. Eli Manning's gone.
Hung up in the air.
Yeah. Eli Manning's retired. Ben Roethlisberger is...
His elbow is just fine, Scott.
We'll
Don't
see.
Even
we'll
say
see.
It.
Yeah, we'll see. That cadaver ligament, maybe that's helping out. Who knows? Slim Ben, yeah, sorry. Not so big Ben. Yeah, but I'm with you. I like the Texans and the Titans better in that division than I like the Colts.
100%. 100%. But who do you have as another disappointing? I'm sure you went AFC because we can't
fit
the same
way. I did AFC
as
well. Yep, exactly. And my choice was the Buffalo Bills. Out of the AFC East, it would just kind of, if you notice, I had a little tandem thing here. That's sort of how it works. Like, if this team's going to maybe do a little better, that probably means, you know,
someone's getting knocked off the totem pole.
Like, somebody, they're beating somebody, probably in their division. I would do the Lions and the Packers, and now I'm going with the Dolphins and the Bills. Bills, I just don't think Josh Allen is, like, the guy, you know? Like, he's okay. And I know that they've gone and they've gotten more weapons and stuff like that now too. But that team last year had all the makings of the team that makes the playoffs because, like, a lot of things go right, right? Like, we're talking like the Jags and the Bears in 2017 type teams, you know, like, things are falling in place. Dominoes are falling right. And if you don't take advantage of that window, then you could be sitting there going, dang. And with the Bills, I mean, they had the Texans dead to rights, could have gone to the divisional round and just fell apart in the second half. And
because of Josh Allen.
Because of Josh Allen. And hey, maybe he proves me wrong. Maybe he goes out there, takes the leap this year. I think we're going to find out whether or not he's capable of taking that leap, because guys traditionally just don't figure it out in year five or six. Like, they're going to figure it out in year two and three. And granted, he was better last year, certainly, than he was the year before, but he's still remarkably inconsistent. And that team just, it doesn't wow you, right? And there's so many expectations now too, right? With the AFC East being open and pretty much everybody crowned, after Tom Brady left, everybody crowned the Bills AFC East champs. They hadn't even played a game yet.
Don't even need to, why even suit up? We got Josh Allen. Yeah.
This is a team that has made the playoffs twice since the mid 90s. Like, let's pump the, since 97. So let's slow down a little bit. They've won zero playoff games since, pretty sure they have not won a playoff game since the Super Bowl era, the Marv Levy era, and Jim Kelly and all that. So, like, we're talking a long time since this franchise doesn't know how to be good. So we'll find out whether or not they're able to grow up this year and become good, or if last year was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I like that pick. And, you know, when you take disappointing, when you think about that word and put it into making these picks, you have to take into what that team's expected to do, expectations. They're expected to win the division handily this year. I don't see it that way. I think the Patriots, I think the Dolphins, those teams are going to give them trouble. I agree with you.
Well,
they're not lighting anyone up either.
No. Yeah, that's the other thing. They're not going to just, like, jump on a team and put them away.
Hey, just wait till Stephon Diggs starts bitching about Josh Allen. It's going to be a disaster.
His target.
Oh, it's going to be a disaster.
Well, the NFL gets started on Thursday, full slate on Sunday. Of course, college football week one is this week, getting going Thursday night. We got a little contest too, Miami and UAB on a Thursday, and then a relatively full slate comparatively on Saturday as well. So we have a full football weekend starting on
Miami,
Thursday.
Miami UAB's Thursday?
At 8 o'clock, yeah.
Ho, 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 ho.
You can't watch, though. It's on the
ACC
Network.
God damn.
You can come over here. I got it.
I'm so sick of...
Sorry, I just really brought the mood down on that. We just had a lot of fun talking about football.
I was so excited.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? With that, why don't we get into our segments here? And I got some stuff that might cheer you up. How about that?
Okay, all right. I need something because we just talked about how talented Miami's roster is going to be this year. I was like, you know what? I'd like to see it in action.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe somebody's got a place, an establishment, a watering hole.
Yeah.
You can turn it on. Who knows? All right. So I got to give a shout out here to start things off in our Cold as Ice segment, brought to you by Ice Mule Coolers. Coming to you today again from our mobile Ice Mule Coolers studio after we reunited last week. We are planning on getting back together to do these live. There were some extenuating circumstances today on both ends, I think, that ended up contributing to us not being able to get together. But that's okay because we've got this option. It works great. And here we are back in the mobile Ice Mule Cooler studio. Sports Bar 15 at checkout to save 15% off. Alex got to use the Ice Mule Cooler today, rubbed it into my face that he was using it in the sand and the ocean and enjoying a little Labor Day, while my first cold as ice was me because I had to work today.
That's an easy one.
Not only did I have to work today, but, you know, like, there's, like, work days and there are work days. You know what I mean? It was the latter. It was like, oh, man, like, we got meetings all day and, like, all this
stuff. Lot to do.
I got to, like, think. This isn't like find like a mundane task and, like, put on a podcast and kind of, like, power through type day.
Knock
it
out.
Yeah. No, I got to engage and invest in all this other stuff. But you know what? It's okay because the second part of my cold as ice is me realizing that I'm not on ice, if that makes any sense. And here, stay with me. Let me explain it. Last night, I had a dream that I had to start working on Saturdays again starting this week. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I've had all these Saturdays off and now football starting and I've got to work on the weekends again?
That's unbelievable. That's not a dream.
It was a nightmare. So I woke up this morning and I was like, you know what? I've got to work on Labor Day. But this Saturday, I'm going to get a chance to watch a full college football slate and there's not going to be any work for me. And that is pretty awesome. And while it's disappointing, of course, that like I'm not being able to do 100% of my job, and I love the fact that I'm in college athletics and I get to work events and games and things like that, and I don't trade that for the world, but I'm not going to be sad sitting on a couch watching college football on Saturday and not, you know, having that opportunity, I guess you could say. I'm embracing that, and I'm pretty excited that that dream was just a dream. I had to double check at one point this morning. I was like, wait a second, do I have to work on Saturday? Check my calendar. It's like, oh, no, I don't. Okay, we're good. We're good.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure your heart was racing. Well, good. I'm excited. And then Saturday, you know, I always loved it when you had Saturdays off. I'd have someone to drink some beer and watch football with and break it down, X's and O's.
We could do it again this Saturday. So I believe you invited
me. We're going to do it again. Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't
looking
resend
forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. I want to make sure I made you sad there a few minutes ago. So.
Yeah, true.
You know what we haven't had in a while here, Alex?
What's that?
A Waller of the Week.
That's right. A lot of people have been behaving, I guess.
It's just been, maybe I just haven't been noticing the misbehaving, or maybe it actually has tamped down. So maybe people are listening and they're starting to think a little bit before they type, and they're saying, hey, I don't want to be Waller of the Week. I'm going to go ahead and measure this take before I put it out there. But this week I've got a double whammy for you. I'm going to start off with a weird one. And this is kind of the opposite of a Waller, but it's a Waller because it doesn't make any sense for this guy to be tweeting this. And I didn't even see this at first because this is one of the few guys I have muted on Twitter. Like, great feature, by the way. Like, sit there and like
stay off my timeline.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't need to see this. Like, I don't like this. So he would be Skip Bayless. First guy I ever muted. I was like, this is, your takes are so trash. You're so incendiary. It's just, you're so annoying. I already have the option to not watch you on television. But like when people are retweeting on my timeline all the time, like I'm upset about this. So I'm going to mute you. So I didn't actually see it. It was like people went nuts last night though. And they're like, can't believe this. Can't believe it. And it's like from an account you muted this tweet. I was like, all right, I got to click. I got to see what it is. Skip Bayless gave LeBron James props last night. He said, LeBron, clutch. Was this last night or was this Saturday night?
No, it would have been last night.
Yeah, last night. Okay. I didn't know if the nights were running together for me the weekend said to do that. But
no.
I was like, wait. Skip Bayless, the man who has made a living off of trolling LeBron James, called him clutch last night. I couldn't believe it. It was like a reverse Waller.
Oh, my gosh. Skip Bayless is the guy that invented that. Now, that you know, Waller probably idolizes
Skip
Bayless because that's his whole thing. That's his whole shtick from the start. A bad tweet is better than, what was it?
A bad take is better than no take at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically how Skip Bayless has made millions of dollars.
That's how he got famous, wildly famous.
Right. Which, unbelievable. Funny callback, actually, after the Last Dance ended, I got one of those Bulls books, Blood on the Horns. You listen to Pardon My Take. Big Cat referenced that one. So I read that one, which was kind of like mirror imaging what was going on.
You have
like
it?
It was a Kindle book, so I can't. Sorry.
I was going to say, I might read it.
Yeah. Well, let's not get ahead of
ourselves. Book on tape.
But there was a Skip Bayless in 98 was a column. He had just moved to Chicago, was a new columnist for the Sun Times, I believe. And the guy who wrote the book was like, basically like, this guy pretty much already has his reputation as being like this hot take artist that people don't take seriously. I was like, in 1998, this guy was doing this.
How'd he make it all the way to the top? How'd he,
I don't know,
his way to the top?
Great question. I have no earthly idea.
It's kind of impressive, actually.
It is. You know what? You got to tip your cap, I guess, to people like that. Yeah. We all sit here, try to make an honest living.
Well, just like Max Kellerman. How does he go to bed? You know what I mean? Like, how does he even have the energy? Because I don't have the energy to lie in general. This is not a lie, but I almost would feel like I was living a lie. If I was taking a hot take to take it, not even that fully believe in it, and then have to deal with your mentions on Twitter, have to debate it, have to basically bear that cross at all times, no matter the take, they always, like, Kellerman is always saying something left field.
Well, the worst thing about him is, like, Skip Bayless, obviously we can go back over 20 years and like he was the same guy. Like, Max Kellerman he wasn't this guy until like a couple of years ago. Like Max Kellerman was
first state gig.
Exactly. He was like the boxing guy, and he was the original reality, the host of Around the Horn, and like pretty well respected dude. And all of a sudden he comes in and gets on First Take, and like, I don't know, the Skip left a pair of magical pants around and he put them on, and all of a sudden he's like,
they script that show.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden he's like, I gotta be Skip Bayless at ESPN. And it's like, geez Louise. And now he's got a radio show. It's like, well, do we need more Max Kellerman in the world? Like, I don't understand. All right, so I got another one for you here.
Two back-to-back?
Well, this one's an actual waller. And this one just, I mean, I was blown away by this one. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised by this either, but maybe I just held out hope that there was still hope for this guy. But he's well-known to be a hot-take artist. Jason Whitlock, who now, I mean, he's been at ESPN, he's been at Fox, he's now working with Clay Travis at OutKick. The coverage, I think it's just now OutKick. I think they shortened that. You know, that's a lot trendier to just pick one word, you know, that kind of thing. So he's been firing off some columns now, I tell you, ever since he started there. But his latest was an all-timer. He thinks that the Milwaukee Bucks are losing in the series to the Miami Heat because they're more concerned about the black man who died in Milwaukee than playing basketball. That was his take. He's like, if they were less worried about this one guy's life and more worried about their own lives, then they would be winning the series. And I was like, holy cow, how did you get there? How in the world?
I don't even want to touch that.
I saw it and I was just like, I can't, my brain would never even organically get there. Like, I couldn't even come up with that if I tried to come up with the most ridiculous take of all time. And yet he sat there, and I don't know if he sat in a meeting and pitched that, and they were just like, Jason, run with this. Like, what?
You have our blessing.
Like, he's texting, he's like emailing an editor, and he's like, all right, this is my thought. Because, like, this is usually how this stuff works. You don't just, like, go off on your own and post to the web. He's not posting on the website by himself. Like, he's having to run this by somebody, and he's just like, hey, this is what I got. And they're like, ooh, spicy.
Wow, that one is, you get me off this one. Yeah.
I'm
scared to even be around that conversation. That's such a wild take.
Ugh. It just floored me. I was just like, I just don't know how he got here. Forget the take itself. I just don't know how he even got there. That's amazing. But not to mention just like everyone in America, right, was like, hey, I think the Heat are a pretty trendy pick to maybe upset the Bucks.
Yeah. they said from the start they're good at shooting.
He's like, not three-point shooting.
Yeah.
I've got the answer for you.
Yeah,
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Jason Whitlock, man, he's got to get back to the tiny fedoras or something. Like, he is on he's
that
on
big-ass body.
He's on one right now, and he is
don't be a
something
wall.
Else. Don't be a wall. Just like – and he got paid for that. God dang. He got paid for that. Folks, we're just telling you, just take a deep breath. Because guess what? Jason Whitlock can fire off hot takes and get paid for them. You guys aren't. So we're just encouraging you all. You don't want to end up being the next Waller. Just deep breath. Think about it. Check the You use it as a chance to check your punctuation and your spelling. You don't want to be that guy either that's firing off the misspelled tweets all the time. And just consider that old take before you hit the old send button, the tweet button, if you will, into the Twitter sphere, because you just don't want to end up being a waller at the end of the day, Alex.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad look. Every time we do one of these segments, it's horrible. The takes that are out there are so bad.
There's some bad
takes out there. There really are some bad takes out there.
But it gives us content, so I guess in that regard, we feel fairly
good. That's the whole goal.
About it. Fairly good about it. Well, we had a jam-packed episode, a double Waller of the Week. We had a double Cold as Ice. We had a Turco trifecta, the official return. We were breaking down football leading up to Thursday night kickoff of Week 1 of the college football season proper and Week 1 of the NFL season. And Alex, what a time, what a show, and I look forward to taking down some cold ones, coming up with some good takes this weekend, and then giving some people some more great content next Monday night. We are the Sports Bar Podcast. Find us on Twitter at @sportsbar_pod. And then you can follow us, of course, on Apple, Google, and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Those are probably the only three places you're getting your podcasts. Let's be real. Until next time, Alex, looking forward to it. Enjoy the football. And we'll talk to you next week on the Sports Bar Podcast.